You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Friday to you. It's Friday, March the 1st, the first day of the month. And I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys waking up in a pretty good mood. The Sixers won last night, 108-104. They ended their 19-game skid, series losing streak, to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't think the Sixers could do it. Nope. Not at all. Now, I'm not trying to hate, but when you tell me that Joel Embiid is not playing his fourth game, and then Boban, his backup center. Now, you know, Joel is the best center in the league. But Boban, his backup center, isn't going to play. And you have to go to OKC and win. Go to a place you never won before. The Sixers were 0-9 in Oklahoma before this game. Nah. I didn't think they could get it done. Now, I want to say around yesterday, maybe around noon, and between 11 a.m. and noon, Central Time, I see texts is out from the Oklahoma City media saying that Paul George wasn't playing. So you look at those texts and you say, okay, well, Sixers may have a little chance, but not to the point where you were going to say, okay, I know they're going to win. I mean, let's face it. I mean, on this trip, okay, Embiid has been out for 4 games. After last night, the Sixers are 3-1 in the 4 games that he missed in this trip. Right? Before that, they were 1-3 in games without. So you say, they're 4-4 right now. But let's be real. Although they beat Miami, they beat New Orleans to make them 2-1 heading to this game, they weren't exactly pretty victories against good teams. I mean, these were bad teams. I mean, Miami is getting better. Miami's like trying to be in a playoff race. But the Sixers didn't look good altogether. And then against New Orleans, they blew a huge lead. So when it came to last night's game, I was telling myself that the Sixers didn't have a chance. I mean, I'm thinking about, wow, they're going to lose their 20th game. But, you know, when the Sixers came out, they were on fire from the start. I mean, at one point, they made 9 of 11 shots. Then they went on to make 10 of 12. I mean, they were rolling. I mean, you couldn't deny them. I mean, Tobias Harris looks like an all-star. Well, he was an all-star snub for the Clippers before he came here. You know, he got traded. We all know that the Sixers acquired him, Boban, and Mike Scott before the February 7th trade deadline from the Clippers. You could not have told me that he was not an all-star last night. I mean, if I'm Tobias Harris, I know that you have to wait until the end of the season for free agency. He's going to be unrestricted. But if I'm him, I'm saying, look, y'all, the paperwork together now. Do some quiet negotiation behind closed doors now. No, they can't. But I'm just saying. Because right now, this game showed why he's a perfect fit in Philadelphia. I mean, he is the reason the 76ers won that game last night. Not the only reason, but he's the main reason that the Sixers won that game last night. I mean, last night, Tobias Harris had 32 points. He made 5 of 7 three-pointers, right? And then you look at it, he got help. I mean, all the guys played well. I mean, most of the guys played well. I mean, you look at Jimmy Butler. You know, if Jimmy Butler had a weakness, it was foul shooting, especially in the fourth quarter. He went overall 2 for 5. But then you look at his other line. He had 20 points. He had 8 assists, 8 rebounds. He had 2 steals. Now, he also committed 3 turnovers, which was the second highest on the team. But he was a +7, right? Tobias was +6. Then you look at Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons recorded his 9th triple-double of the season. And he did a great job defending Russell Westbrook. I mean, Westbrook got his triple-double. He had 23 points. He had 11 assists. He had 11 rebounds. He had 4 turnovers, 1 steal, 1 block. But the stat that really stuck out to me was his shooting. He was 8 for 24, 1 for 9 on threes. I mean, Ben Simmons basically sagged off of him. He prevented him from getting to the lane. Now, there were a couple times when Westbrook had a step and got there. But for the most part, Ben Simmons did a great job on him. I mean, it got to a point where Westbrook had to settle for jacking shots. And as good as Westbrook is, MVP and all that, former MVP, he's ineffective when he's out there jacking. And that's what he did, right? But then when you look on the offensive end, you know, some people don't get excited off of Ben Simmons' triple-doubles because they like, hey, man, you know, they want to see like 30 points, 15 rebounds. And I made 10 rebounds, 15 assists. Well, you know what? I think when Ben Simmons, regardless of how many points he gets, when he has triple-doubles and when Ben Simmons basically doesn't shoot the ball a lot and distributes the ball, I think the 76ers are a way better team. Last night was one of those nights. He had 9 shots on 5 of 9 shooting. He had 11 points. A team-high 13 rebounds to go with a team-high 11 assists. He was physical on the defensive end. Led to him having 5 fouls. He had 2 blocks. And he had 2 steals. Now, he did have 4 turnovers. But he had 2 blocks and 2 steals. You know, Ben Simmons was my defensive player of the game. Now, some people may say Wes had a triple-double. But like I said, 2 blocks, 2 steals. And he forced the opposing team's best player on that night to 8 for 24 shooting. So, I mean, and then, you know, another guy, Jonah Bolden, got his 2nd start. Because like we said, they were out Joel Embiid. But Jonah Bolden got his 2nd start. He had 14 points to tie a career high. He was 6 for 7 shooting, right? He had 3 rebounds, and he committed 3 fouls, and he had a steal. And then coming off the bench, Mike Scott had 9. Mike Scott had a huge three-pointer late in the game. I mean, that three-pointer right there basically said, hey, game over to me. Game over. I can't quite say that because it seemed like OKC kept fighting back. But, you know, this was a good win for the Sixers. Despite Paul George not playing. And it was a good win for the Sixers because they looked great playing without Joel Embiid. And, you know, I asked Brett Brown about that after the game, and this is what he said. He said, no doubt, I think we are learning. We are always trying to figure out what is going to be a playoff-type look. I think going small helped us. Mike Scott came in and hit that dagger, that three we needed. The versatility that I think this team has, the ability to grow into, simple space. We put Jimmy and JJ in pick and roll. Ben Simmons and JJ in pick and roll. We put Tobias and stuff. I think the versatility of our group allowed us to find some cheap hoops. Part of the evolution is going to unfold, and I see that opportunity happening over the next 20-whatever games. The Sixers have 20 games left, right? You know, Ben Simmons or, you know, Tobias Harris also talked about on the team starting to play together and improving. He says, yeah, 100%. We are getting there. You know, obviously there is still time and there are things out there that we have to work on. But have had some really good spurts over there on the floor with us playing the right way in the first half. 21 assists or something. So, yes, that is aggressive. Those are things we can continue to get better at and to grow off. But especially without having both of our big guys, it was a good game for us. It was a great game for them with the big guys. Now, again, they had a 16-point lead, and they blew it. OKC came back, tied, knotted up the score. But, you know, the way that the Sixers were able to regroup and guys were able to hit quality shots said a lot. Said a lot. Now, like when he talked about the 21 assists, he's talking about in the first half. The Sixers had 21 assists on 25 made baskets in the first half. Those 21 assists in the first half tied a, I don't know, it set a team record. Not a team record. A season record for the Sixers. The Sixers ended up with 33 assists on 42 made shots. So, you know, it was still pretty good. Now, when I get right back, we're going to talk about J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick didn't particularly have a good game today. Okay, so, you know, when I talked about all the guys who did well, I mentioned names. I didn't mention J.J. Redick's name. Now, J.J. Redick, I will give J.J. credit. He stepped to the line and made two huge foul shots with 1.5 seconds left. They gave the Sixers their 4-point margin of victory. That was huge. But tonight wasn't his night shooting from the field. JJ had 12 points on 3 for 13 shooting. He was 2 for 9 on 3s. Now, JJ Redick is the one guy who's really suffered the most since Joel Embiid has not played. All right? So, I'm just going to read off some of his stats to you. in this four-game stretch. So, I said 3 for 13, 2 for 9 on threes, last night for 12 points. All right. On Monday, J.J. Redick finished with 15 points on 5 for 16 shooting. He was 3 for 9 on threes. All right. On February the 23rd, he shot 1 for 10 from the field, 1 for 5 on threes, and was held to 7 points. On the 21st, he was 4 for 12 from the field, 3 for 10 on threes, for 13 points. So he's kind of been out of sorts. Now, you know, you can argue that he doesn't have Embiid there. They do very well on that dribble handoff. You can argue that they've been running a lot more pick and rolls, and the dribble handoffs with Embiid is like his best option. So, or you can just say, hey, look, shooters go into slumps. It was a point last year early in the season when J.J. Redick went into a slump, but then he got out of it. So right now you're just wondering, when is he going to get out of this thing? You know, I think that what's probably going to happen if he doesn't get out of it, I mean, the Sixers may need to go to Butler more and Tobias more. But I think once Embiid comes back, JJ's going to get cleaner shots. Things are going to be easier for him. But I just had to point out that right now he's struggling. 4 of 12, 1 of 10, 5 of 16, 3 for 13. He's not doing well. He just, you know, it's like when Tobias first came and you had Tobias and Joel. I mean, let's face it. Jimmy is sacrificing for the team. He's deferring the cats. He's just doing what he can, doing little things. So he hasn't really been on takeover mode. But Redick had appeared to benefit the most with Tobias on board initially, when Embiid was in the game. I mean, 6 for 7 shooting for threes, 3 for 6 shooting on threes, 4 for 8 shooting on threes. Now, this is the first three games. You know what I mean? First three. Since you know, the trade. So, you know, I think that once Embiid gets back, JJ will be in a better place. Now, in regards to Embiid getting back, the question is, when is that going to happen? You know, on Wednesday, Brett Brown, I had to remember the day. I'm thinking like, yo, let me tell y'all this. I don't mean to get away off topic a little bit, but when you cover the team or even the players, it's weird. Like, some days we forget the days of the week. And I paused because I forgot the day of the week or when it happened. But on Wednesday, you know, Brett Brown was basically asked about Joel Embiid, and he said that he expected this game, yesterday's game, to be the last time that Joel Embiid would be out with the knee tendonitis. He said he was going to be reevaluated. Now, initially, the thought was that Embiid was only going to miss 3 games and he would be able to play yesterday. And Tuesday morning, in New Orleans, I asked Brett, I said, when's the evaluation? How did the evaluation go? And they said he had yet to be evaluated yet. Okay. So then yesterday you hear, you know, you ask Brett, like, you know, where's Brett going? I mean, what's the latest on Embiid? The reason being is because, you know, you hear that he was evaluated. You also hear that Brett Brown saying that he expected him to play on Saturday. So, you know, Brett was asked those questions, and, you know, Brett basically comes back and says, hey, we're still, you know, testing him. They're still looking at him. And then he goes on to say that, you know, it's up in the air in regards to Embiid playing. So it's like, wow, what happened from the day before to today? Why did everything change? And Brett comes back and he says, hey, it's still nothing, you know, nothing happened further. It's still about him taking his time off to make sure the knee is correct. Now, the only thing is, and it just seems crazy, because one day you said one thing and the next day you say something different. Now, people back home, I know that you guys, some of you guys are alarmed by it. Like, what's going on? Because of the history in the past, when people said Embiid was healthy, said everything was fine, and then you find out it was something else. So that's something to be scary, or something to be alarmed about, I guess. I mean, I can understand that. But when you talk to people, they say that Embiid really wants to play. So the question is the injury worse than what it is? Or what they said it is? Or is the Sixers medical staff just being extremely cautious? Did Brett Brown say that he expects him to play because he really wants him to play against Golden State? Or did he change his mind because he got news that said otherwise? So that's something to really pay attention to. Unfortunately for the Sixers, you know, people tend to don't take what they say in regards to injuries on face value anymore. Or Brett Brown, what he says, based on the past. Because, again, I don't want to keep saying it over and over again, but they did say that, you know, Embiid would be able to play the last time, and he didn't. Or come back, and he didn't. But that's just something to pay close attention to. I want to thank y'all for listening, and have a great day.